Genesis 3, Galatians 3 this morning. Genesis 3 and Galatians 3 real quick. Let's look at these passages of Scripture one more time. And we'll start another part of this study. And a lot of folk have reached out and said it's been a help to them. And I'm thankful for that. The Word of God is our help in these days. Thankful I believe it today.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, the Lord has given us some insight and wisdom in it. And I trust this will be helpful to you today. Genesis 3. And of course, we've been looking at verse 17, 18, and 19, where we read after that Adam has fallen to sin, God has come and he's going to put a curse upon not only Adam, but the serpent and the woman as well first. And now to Adam. This is relevant to us even to this day as we've uncovered and studied this. And so the Bible said again in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now go with me to Galatians 3 again. Galatians chapter number 3. And let's read several verses. We'll read a few more. And for sake of context, and maybe we won't have to elaborate so much this morning on some things we've already uncovered. In verse number 6, the Bible said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. And that is the phrase. It gives us the theme that we've been preaching on, Christ and the curse. He said, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and the seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that's how we know what was preached to Abraham was Christ. Right. It was Christ that was preached to Abraham. We dealt with that on last week. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which is 430 years after cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise that God gave unto Abraham by promise. Abraham had nothing to do with it. It was all of God. Yeah. And we illustrated that last night, that Abraham was good a man as he was last week. As good a man as Abraham was, as faithful as he was, amen, Abraham failed to meet God, amen, on the terms that had been laid out. But that did not change what God did.
Right.
When God came down and offered that sacrifice on his own without Abraham even being there, made a promise that we are the benefactors of to this day. Amen. And so he says here, wherefore then He said, wherefore, verse 19, then serveth the law, it was added to cause him transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. That is, when God showed up, preached Christ to Abraham, that was before the law. The law did not disannul that message and that good news that in the seed singular of Christ, all nations of the earth would be blessed. But my friend, listen. Amen. The law just shows man he is sinful, exceedingly sinful, and condemned and cursed and without any hope. But the message of redemption never changed. It never changed. And so what is he saying? Notice what he said in verse number 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which should have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. The law never could give a man righteous standing before God. Never, 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 not in Abraham's day. Not after Abraham's day, not in our day, the law does not establish righteousness, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
We'll leave off our reading there. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, this morning one more time. In the name of your darling Son, our Savior and Lord and dearest friend we've ever had, we humbly bow and pray. Lord, I pray for a few moments this morning. Lord, as you gathered in with us, Lord, as the choir sang a moment ago, we felt, Lord, that touch of the Lord in our soul, and Lord, the joy and the peace and the excitement, Lord, of just being able to sing and worship you about being saved. Lord, thank you for what you've done a moment ago. But Lord, would you do it again? And Lord, would you teach us and instruct us from the Word of God? Lord, as we study more of these doctrines again, and Lord, magnify the Lord Jesus Christ as you have done throughout all the pages of Holy Writ. Lord, I pray he'd be made big again in our midst in what he's done for us that are saved. Lord, I pray this morning we find joy in it, comfort in it in these days. Lord, that are troubling days and perilous times, may we be anchored in our Savior and what he's done for us. May we look beyond the chaos, and Lord, may we see our Christ, Lord, standing there, Lord, faithfully on our behalf. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you do, how you do it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Christ and the curse. Curse is given in Genesis 3 after that Adam has fallen into sin. We understand the results of the fall is a result that a curse was placed upon Adam. God's judgment was pronounced, and Adam, my friend, was cut off from God. That is the exact teaching of Scripture concerning the matter of being cursed by God. In Psalm, amen, but to be cursed by the Lord is to be cut off from the Lord. And that is exactly what happened there to to Adam when he sinned against the Lord. We understand this as we have studied the scripture and studied in our studies together, that there is such a thing as the curse of the Lord that is passed down from Adam's day. In Psalm 37, verse 22. And so the matter of a curse deals with, we've studied, the denunciation, condemnation, and vindication of God toward man because of his sin. That is still in effect in the day and the hour in which we live. Amen. But the under curse is the opposite of being under the blessing. Right. And Adam had known the blessing, but now Adam, because of sin, knows the curse. Right. And that friend, mankind, was made to know and enjoy the blessing of God. Yeah. But sin has left us with the curse. And so that's where we are. The curse involves a sentence of divine judgment proceeding from God, and the ruin that men inflicted upon sinful men. And that's where we are. And that's what Jesus told to Nicodemus in John 3 when he said, and mankind and sinful man said he's already under condemnation. After him in that condemnation, he's in darkness. He loves the darkness that he's in because of his sin. He will not come to the light lest his deeds would be reproved. And that friend, so he stays there. He stays in his cursed condition. Now we've looked at it, and we'll look at it again, maybe some more this morning, maybe tonight, but 2 Peter 2:14, describing the depths of the depravity of sinful men, Peter calls you and I that are appointed unto judgment, cursed children. And that's where the world is at today. That's where we were and are in a lost state. We are simply cursed children.
Right.
And so we're dealing with the fact of the curse. We understand the curse is evident. Yeah. We understand today the curse is absolutely seen everywhere around us. As the message was given in the garden, so the man who found it came through the law. But the misery of that curse exists in everything we involve ourselves in today. Amen. We have the pains and the sorrows and the heartaches and the heartbreaks and blisters on our hands and on our feet. And we suffer and we sorrow and we have pain and we experience death to varying degrees of how it touches our life. Only in the end, because of the curse, we ourselves are going to go back to the ground. And all of this implies the misery of the curse upon which has been placed upon us as cursed children. And so what God has cursed, no man can bless.
Right.
And what God has blessed, no man can curse.
Right.
And we understand that man cannot dig himself out of his own situation. He can't roll out from underneath his burden of misery. We can't do better to get out of it. We can't wash it away in baptismal waters. We cannot join a religious organization or church whereby suddenly that is disannulled from off of our life. The only hope mankind has in regards to the curse that we're under is found in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. And that is that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And so that gives us our thought that even when we read Genesis chapter number 3, we began there in that text, we must meditate upon Christ. And man, I know that there's a heavy weight of a curse that is pronounced. But before there was a curse, there was a promise of the Christ.
Amen.
And the seed of the woman would come and have. After the seed of the serpent would indeed bruise his heel. Then after the seed of the woman would then in turn bruise the head of the serpent is a promise that Christ was to come. And we're thankful that it's the word of God from that page and from that pen and from that that pronouncing of those curses, there is a promise that unfolds throughout all the word of God. This is why Brother Tim got back on what we've been at. Amen. For some time in Luke 24, then when Christ joined himself of those two Emmaus Road disciples, and the Bible said, began at Moses and all the prophets, and expounded unto them the things concerning himself. And he was there all along. He was there after him on every page. Amen. And he expounded to them the things in Christ. Amen. Had been foretold in Christ that he must come and he must do. Amen. Later on in Luke 24, he gathers with, amen, his church and his disciples have. And the Bible said that beginning there, even in the law of Moses, and all the prophets and the souls, he taught them things concerning himself. How that Matthew, Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms, amen, testified Christ would come, he would die, he would be buried, but they would raise again. And the Lord said, you take that message and you preach it in all the world, beginning at Jerusalem. And when you tell them what I have done, why? Amen. Because all of that is the story, yeah. And the fact of the matter of mankind's soul concerning the curse we're under. Amen. Oh, the awfulness of the curse, but all the all that we find in the Christ that, amen, has come to redeem sinful men from. Amen. It's dreaded in this lonely estate. And so we're preaching on Christ and the church. And quickly this morning we'll rehearse just a matter or two. Amen. We're looking at this thought in broad terms and just how the Lord is putting together in my heart and in my thoughts. We looked at several weeks back the reversal of the reversal of Christ in the curse.
Amen.
And how that Christ through the 33 and a half years of his life of that Matthew, he was reversing everything that Adam did. Adam, I guess, in one day, amen, went from a blessed day to a cursed day. Amen. Adam, in one day, woke up, amen, blessed and enjoying God. And by the time the sun went down, amen, Adam is under the curse. And what Adam did in one day, Christ every day that he lived on his earth, amen, was reversing what that Adam did.
Amen.
I'm glad he came in reverse. Amen. Not the course that mankind is in this church that we were under. Last week we spent all Lord's Day and we dealt with the redemption by Christ from the curse. And we find that in our text that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. You see, the curse, and my friend left the payment that must be paid.
Right.
And the curse left the ransom that, amen, somebody was going to have to satisfy. Adam is the one who got himself in the curse, and Adam could not redeem himself from it. It would take someone, that friend, greater than Adam.
Right.
It would take it greater than Moses and greater than Abraham. It would take it greater than the strength of Samson. It would take it greater with a greater heart than that came did. And it would take a greater faithfulness than that of Daniel. And that friend would take a greater man of God than that of John the Baptist.
Right.
And that friend, I'm glad that in the text that we read this morning, amen, we are told that Christ has redeemed us. Amen, redemption by Christ from the curse. Amen, all the price that man bring the curse to man paid. Amen, Christ paid it all.
Hey,
amen,
yes.
He left nothing unsettled. He left no balance in the account. Amen, by doing what he did, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Amen.
And so we looked at on last week this matter of redemption. And we looked at the expectation of this redemption. And in unfolding this, Paul takes us all the way back to the promise that Abraham made.
Yeah.
He goes all the way back and he said, let me tell you something. There was a message that was preached to Abraham. Amen. Before we got where we are, there was good news given to Abraham. And in him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed.
Amen.
Paul
yes.
has to lay that out. And he's talking about faith. Amen. And believing God. And he said, that's what we've got. Amen. We believe God. We believe the same promise. We have been brought in all of that. And your heads rest spinning. Amen. Until you come down into verse number 16, where Paul says,
Amen. This was about more than Abraham simply having Isaac and Isaac having Jacob and Jacob having 10 sons of his own that would turn the out to a nation known as Israel. Amen. He said it wasn't seeds many, but it was a seed singular. And in that seed, which is Christ.
Right.
That's what was preached to Abraham. Amen. And he may not have known all the doctrine we know in the revelation we have today. Amen. But according to what Paul said in the text, amen, he was given a message of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. There's a crowd running around today, and they're trying to say that the Old Testament believers and saints were not looking forward, amen, to the cross and looking forward to a Savior that would come. Amen. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what Paul has said in Galatians 3. That, amen, Abraham had an expectation.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That there was one that was coming down the line. Amen. Yes, he'd come through the loins of Abraham. And yes, he'd come through that seed of Isaac.
Right.
Amen. And ultimately through the tribe of Judah. A man from that seed that was promised in Abraham the way. It had everything to do with Christ being preached to Abraham.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You shall believe that when you're an unbeliever.
Right.
Amen. The Bible said this is what Jesus would say. You wouldn't argue with Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, Abraham, amen, he saw that day and rejoiced and was glad in it. And so again, I'm not saying he had all the revelation we have. Amen. As clear as it is in the hour in which we live. Amen. But the expectation of this redemption. Amen. Even going back to Genesis 3, it said mankind's only hope is in Christ.
Right.
Amen. It is the expectation that sinners must get tapped into today. Amen. It said he is the only hope that we have.
Yes, sir.
When they're getting the execution of this redemption that, and Paul said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so Paul reaches directly to the cross. Amen. The execution of the Son of God on that day. And we looked at, I ain't got time to go down here again. I enjoyed it so much. I'm going to preach it on again. Amen. But there, the way that was made for our redemption, amen, was by the cross upon which Christ died. And we looked at the manner of, amen, what was written. And interestingly enough, amen, Paul takes us all through the book of Galatians, specifically Galatians 3. And he's constantly saying it was written, as it was written, the scripture foreseen, the scripture concluding it. And he's running us back to the Old Testament to give us the gospel, a message that my friend is trying to clear up. Amen. And these Galatian believers should have been deceived by the Judaizers and the keeping of the law. And he's saying, my friend, Christ was executed for you. And in doing so, he was made a curse that the curse of the law can be lifted and we can be redeemed.
Hey.
And when we look back to Genesis 3 and the elements of the curse, and how that in the cross upon which Christ died and was executed, and Christ was bearing every element of that, amen, at the cross on that day, the sorrows of the curse, and the thorns of the curse, the sweat of the curse, and ultimately ending that dream of the death that is found in the curse. And Christ absorbed all of that into himself. Amen. One who is not under the curse, one virgin born. Amen. Yes, only man, but absolutely. Amen. Not conceived of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not confined in the spiritual state of the curse. Amen. Freely yielded up the ghost and died, having absorbed. Amen. All of that within himself, making. Amen. They made a curse for you and I. Amen. This land couldn't die by stoning. This land couldn't die. By being flung off a cliff, he had to absorb it all.
Right.
Amen. Upon the tree, being cursed, as the law had said, and thank God for the cross. Amen. Upon which the Lord Jesus died.
Amen.
Amen. The wonder Paul said, God forbid. been that I should go away. Amen. Save in the cross of Christ. Amen. We've got no redemption outside the cross. Amen. Without Christ, I am half real on the tree. Amen. Absorbing the curse and we were under. Amen. Friend, we are yet in our sin. We are yet under the curse.
Right.
And thank God we put our faith in the blood. Amen. It was executed then. You and there, man, be redeemed.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. We looked at the expectation and the execution. But then we looked at the exchange in this redemption. Amen. The blessed man was made cursed, so the cursing could be made blessed. And what an exchange is found. Amen. Through justification at the cross of the Lord Jesus in Christ's vast cross is offered the exchange of all the curse pronounced for our eternal redemption of the gospel. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we, that is sinful, cursed man, might be made the righteousness of God in him. And what an exchange, the godly for the ungodly did. Amen. The perfect for the guilty. And what a blessing it is today that there is redemption by Christ from the curse. And it took us all Lord's Day last week to preach on that. Amen. And so let's start on this morning, the third and final point. And I want to look at the renewal in Christ over the curse. The renewal in Christ over the curse. When we read what Adam was in Genesis 2, and we leave Genesis 3 seeing what he has become, and the burden that is upon his shoulders because of the curse that has been pronounced against him. Okay. Amen. We're acquainted with that weight. We were born that free with that weight. Amen. Upon our spiritual shoulders. And we're living under that curse and his curse weight. Amen. We're spiritually dead. We were away from God. Amen. We've gone astray. Every one of us turned our own way. Amen. We were wicked. We were vile. We were ungodly. And on our best and most righteous day, we can live. Amen. In the sight of God, because of the curse, amen, we're absolutely counted to be wicked and deserving of the wrath and judgment of God. Amen. But what is happening? Christ came to reverse. Amen. The curse, and do that he did. He came to bring redemption to you and I, and redeemed I stand before you today. Now, it goes beyond just the ransom being paid. Amen. In salvation, and by the power of the gospel, and by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a renewal that begins to take place in our life as a result of the saving power of Christ. Amen. We're going to look at that for a little while. Amen. This morning and then probably again tonight. Amen. What do we mean by the renewal in Christ over the curse? Amen. That Christ removes sinners from the effects and the spiritual standing the curse and cause is that the redeemed are the benefactors of Christ's cross.
Right.
He went and died on the cross and provides redemption. And in faith, we receive that ransom payment for our sin and we're saved. But in that moment of salvation, you and I become the benefactors of what looks like to be an awful death. Amen. And so to think about this morning that what Christ has come into the world and what he did 2,000 years ago, even in his death, and obviously his burial and his resurrection. And that, friend, we are left with, amen, opportunities that the gospel is preached to respond and be saved. And that, friend, to have, amen, that Christ has reversed it all and brought redemption, desires to make you and I the benefactors of the word in this economy.
Amen. Amen.
To be renewed is to be restored.
Yes.
That's yes. What mankind needs.
Amen.
Amen. If you had redemption but was left now right spiritual standing before God. Amen. You, my friend, you would never be able to go to heaven. What good? Amen. With redemption and claiming redemption pay. Amen. To be redeemed is to be brought to a state of renewal. And to be renewed is to be restored. And what we have lost, amen, as sons of Adam, what we mean now, has been renewed when made the sons of God.
Yeah. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. And so, in Christ, there is a renewing whereby, amen, in His life, He reversed the course. Then He offers redemption, and in that redemption, what He extends to us from Jerry is, amen, a restoration back to what God intended men to be in the first place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to give you, I'll give you at least the first thought here, amen, about this renewal and some thoughts that I wrote down, just kind of meditating, amen, on this. I'm glad Christ don't leave us where He found us.
That's right.
Maybe that's the easier way to understand that when He found us and when He saved us, Sister Debbie, he didn't leave us where He found us.
Amen.
Hey. My friend does a renewing work in our life. I'm grateful for that. Let's look at this matter of renewal or renewing, amen, that we have here, this renewing that we have in Christ over the curse. Number one, amen, here's the thought I think is absolutely imperative to understand. And this renewal by our in Christ over the curse is conditioned on the second birth.
Yeah.
The renewal that we have in Christ over the curse is conditioned in the second birth.
Amen.
Ye must be born again.
Yes.
Amen. You stay there. There are some that mock that. There are some that deny that. There are some that have taken that phrase and attached, amen, all sorts of mystical and weird and strange ideas. Amen. And we understand that in John 3, Nicodemus comes to the Lord. Amen. And he begins to converse with the Lord. And the Lord didn't engage him about entertainment. And the Lord didn't have to invoke him about, amen, some carnal realm. He simply looked at him and said, amen, Nicodemus, amen, you cannot see, you cannot even see the kingdom of God until you have been born again. Amen. And so Nicodemus being amazed in that statement, and that friend confused man. Amen. You know what he thought. How can I be born a second time? Can I enter into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, amen, don't marvel, Nicodemus, said, saying to you, you must be born again. And here's what Jesus said in John 3:6. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Right.
Amen. It is flesh. It is in a spiritual state of a curse. That's all it can be. That's all it ever will be. And he's saying to Nicodemus, I'm not talking about entering into your mother's womb when you're old. And it's an impossibility. And even if you could, it would not change you.
Right.
Nicodemus, you are dead in Adam. In Adam, the flesh is the flesh. You can dress it up. You can take it down the temple. You can do sacrifice. You can carry your manuscript. And Nicodemus, you can quote scripture and write it on the doors, posts of your house. And Nicodemus, you can fulfill every child and every temple. And Nicodemus, sandwich is born of the flesh, is flesh. And Jesus said, listen, this is the fact of the matter, the new birth, the second birth, is a necessity because, amen, the flesh is the flesh.
Yes.
Without a second birth, you stay in your sin, you stay under a curse. Amen. Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Yes.
This whole thing of Christ and the curse and a child of God's relationship with the Lord, we
gold, the second birth.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
They went to see the first verse, what got you in the curse.
That's right.
The only way out of the curse is to be born again.
Yes, sir.
So I like that. You ain't got to like it. That's what Jesus said. This world hates it.
Yes.
This world, that's why later on the same conversation. Amen. Jesus said, I understand this world don't want this message. I understand sinners don't want it. They don't come in the name that your deeds should be reproved. A matter of it doesn't matter who receives it, who rejects it. And when the message does not change, and a man must be born again.
Right.
And it's the condition whereby, and then the removal by Christ on the curse that began in your life.
Amen. Amen.
You must be born from above. Amen. You must be born of the Spirit of God. Amen. John 11 would deal with this all through. Amen. His first epistle, they would talk about. Amen. Being born of God, overcoming the world. Being born of God, loving the brethren. Being born of God. Amen. And the victory that it brings in our life. Amen. What was John preaching? What was John saying? Amen. What he's saying is that, amen, this Christian life and renewal, amen, over the curse that you're under is conditioned on being born of God.
Right.
Nature man must be dealt with.
Yes, sir.
Nature man must be changed. You can't do that by saying a prayer.
Right.
You don't do that by making a profession. The nature of man is not changed when wicked men die, their family standing around their coffee and pronouncing them to be okay before God. Oh no, friend, only the new birth, the second birth, and they have experience with, and then the Holy Ghost, by the power of the gospel, is the only thing that can change the nature of man.
Yes, sir.
It's the only thing. It's the only thing. Amen. The claim of salvation without the second birth. Amen. Is to put all the effort and the merit on yourself. Amen. But John would say in John chapter 1, when Christ came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name were born. Amen. Not the will of flesh, nor the will of man, nor blood. He said, but are born of God.
Right.
Amen. I'm telling you today, amen, mankind has a wicked nature. The flesh is the flesh, and only the Spirit of God can change that nature.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Said, you've been born again, I've been born again.
Hey.
Amen. Old grandpa and grandma, you sing a song. Amen. I had a birth I can't remember and one I can't forget. Amen. I'm glad, Brother Larry, I'm saved today. Amen. I don't remember March 26, 1979. Amen. Everybody has to tell me everything. Amen. Anything I know about that day, I'm absolutely dependent on what mama told me and daddy told me. And grandparents said, oh, you're the most beautiful men of Newport. Amen. I ain't got no problem believing that. Somebody said, man. Amen. I believe that. But everything I know about my first birth, amen, I'm trusting they're telling me right. Amen. But I'm telling you in the Newport. Amen. In the second birth, in me being born again, Brother Larry, you ain't got to tell me anything.
Right, right.
You ain't got to tell me what happened to me. Ain't all I was saying, women happy. I guess I only know
hey.
Today. I have been born again.
Yes. Hey.
The message this world better hear.
Right.
Amen. That's the message they better get a hold of. And that's the message, but Jeremy. Amen. These drunkards, they'll stay in a drunken state. They'll stay in sin and under a curse until that dream may come to the light.
Right.
I've got to be born again. And I can't birth myself. Only Christ and His gospel can do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, preacher.
Amen. So it's a renewal. A renewal by and in Christ over the curse. And it is conditioned on the second birth. Amen. I believe Paul deals with this in the book of Galatians. We've been in chapter 3. And in fact, when we come to the end of chapter 3, we read down in
to Christ for their redemption. What he says is, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Bringing us all together. Notice the state that Paul tells us we are in the close of this chapter in the same context now. The same context of what he's dealing with of Christ and the church. He said, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and what? Heirs, as children. Amen. Heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
This is what he dealt with in verse number 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are what? The children of Abraham.
Right.
How do you become a child of Abraham without a second birth?
Yeah.
You can't.
Right.
I was not born a child of Abraham. Amen. My first birth led me a Gentile. Amen. It led me a white boy with red hair. Amen. Me as a junkyard dog. Amen. But I'm telling you, the second birth, amen, that conditions the renewal that we have in Christ on the curve has made me a child of Abraham.
Right.
So I don't believe that. That's what Paul said. Have you become a child of one that you're not a child of? It's got to be a second birth.
Amen. Yes.
So you believe that? I absolutely believe it. I can prove it to you from the Word of God. Galatians chapter number 4. Look in the next text. Amen. And notice what Paul is dealing with. And obviously all the book of Galatians, I believe, can relate to this thing that we're picked up on the Galatians chapter number 4. Lord, I got to hurry. Amen. I at least got to get this first one done. The Bible said in verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond maid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born. Yes. Notice he is born after the flesh. And notice he said that he of the free woman was by promise.
Yes. Yes.
He's going back to what he was dealing with in chapter 3. What is the promise in? Thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and its seed singular, speaking of Christ.
Amen.
Yes. Ishmael born after the flesh. Isaac was born after the promise.
That's right.
One, listen. Notice what he said in chapter number 4. He said, which things are an allegory. They're a picture to you and I. Ishmael and Isaac is a picture. Amen. There are two sons with two separate natures. But among there are two boys, and they are bent going different directions. Amen. And we know the story of Ishmael. Everything about that was the flesh.
Right.
It was what Sarah came up with. It was what Abraham decided to do. It was their way of trying to do something that, and felt it was their way to do to help God out.
Yes,
Brother Mike, it left Ishmael, yes, a son of Abraham, but he was born after the flesh.
Right.
Isaac, the son of promise, the miracle son, the son that came by miraculous birth in the will of God, he is the son of promise. And Paul said, these two in the Old Testament, they are an allegory of what I'm trying to teach you.
Amen.
Flesh. And the promise. Notice he said, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which tendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is not Sinai in Arabia, answered to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. With her children. Amen. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Notice that language. Amen. The mother of us all. Amen. Mothers are what give birth.
Right.
Paul is saying there's a man being born after the flesh. There's a man being born after the promise.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible said, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren, and bearest not. Bring forth and cry, For the desolate had many more children than she which had an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the what? The children of promise.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
What is the promise? Curse or make the blessed by the power of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody help me.
Yes.
If I had preached this 50 years ago, they'd be jumping benches, ditching babies, and busting the wings. Are you listening? I'm not saved today. I'm not living a renewed life today because if anything the flesh has got, it is all of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
It is all of the promise. It is all, man, friend of Christ. Amen. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Amen. We are the children of promise.
Yes.
And here it is, verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted that was persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now.
Yes.
Yes. Ishmael was an allegory of being born after the flesh. Isaac is an allegory of being born. In fact, I would say he's even more than an allegory. He was actually, amen, I believe the Holy Ghost came down and opened that old womb of Sarah.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He was born of the Spirit. Yes. And Paul said that is exactly how it is now.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
There are some that are after the flesh, born of the flesh. That's how we're all born. There are some, my friend, that have come by the promise of Christ.
Amen.
There's some in that friend who's born the first time, the sons of Adam. But one day in their dark world, under a curse, the lightning shined.
Amen.
They lost the brow of their heart. Amen. And they got interested in the light. And they were tired of the darkness.
Right,
and were tired of the sin. And were tired of the sorrow and the thorns and the sweat and the spiritual death.
Yes.
And somehow the land went down to me. And when loving from the light and turning from the light,
yes,
and then began to look at the light, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost is drawing them in.
Right.
Something in words. Yes. In their life. Amen. What is he doing? Amen. He's bringing them to redemption. He's bringing them to himself. Amen. So bad. Amen. There is a crowd.
Amen.
A minority crowd.
Right.
A small crowd. And the majority today.
Yes.
There are some that have been born after the Spirit. There are some born after the promise. I'm glad I'm in that number.
Amen.
I'm glad
yes.
Born again. Born again.
Yes.
Amen.
Hey.
You say, is that a big deal? You better believe it is. Amen. There's that renewing going on in my life today.
Yes.
Where I am the man I used to be. Why? Because that renewal that is in Christ from the church. Amen. Amen. The conditions were met. Amen. In my life. And I don't even know I have much at all to do with it. Amen. I quit turning away. And I turned to one day and I prayed. I believe Jesus was enough.
Right.
I believe what he did at the cross was enough. I believe his burial and resurrection was enough. And somehow there is a miracle of the new birth that the Holy Ghost brings in a man's life.
Yes. Amen.
See, if he truly believes it, he'll stay as a cursed child.
Yes, right.
Amen. Can y'all handle some more?
Hey.
I got more right here.
Yeah.
I just keep on hammering away. Amen. I just keep on hammering away. Amen. Let me travel on in a little bit deeper. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, man, that's for other people, man. It's for other dispensations and time. Oh, no, friend. Amen. Look what Paul said in the book of Titus. Amen. The book of Titus in chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 4. He said, but after, and I love these verses, but after that, that kindness and love of God our Savior toward man here. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us.
Yes, sir.
He saved us.
Yes, sir.
How did He save us? By washing of, here's a big old word, regeneration.
Yeah. Yes.
So what's that mean? You go home and you look it up. It means to be born again. Yes. Look it up in your Strong's. When you get home, it means to be born again, born to do.
Amen.
Amen.
How does a man get saved? Regeneration.
That's right.
He's got to be born again. Brother Larry, there is no hope. There is no promise of heaven and eternity there. There is no changed life. There is no mission. There's no way. And the cursed state that man is headed in. And man, without being saved, the mercy of the Lord has saved us. How we do it? By washing of regeneration.
Amen. Yes.
Watch. And renewing.
Yes, sir.
Of the Holy Ghost. He saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's what I've been preaching the last, how long have I been preaching? 20 minutes. Amen. Amen. Is that not what we've been preaching? Amen. I'm telling you, Paul is saved. Yes, He saved us. He appeared to us. Amen. He appeared to us. His kindness and His love. It came to where we were so bad. We understood we could not be righteous
right.
of ourselves.
Right.
We could not save ourselves. But God saved us. His mercy saved us. And He saved us back.
Hey. Yes.
Generation and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Hey. Yes.
Paul said you had to be born again to be saved.
Right.
You could not be renewed from your awful condition without the Holy Ghost bringing regeneration into
you. Right.
Oh, that's right. That is exactly right. I'm telling you, so many today go on in their sin. Amen. Never having had their sins washed away by the power of the new birth. Amen. Never being regenerated. And thank God, I'm glad it's still available.
Right.
In the previous chapter, Brother Paul, he said the grace of God which brings salvation. And it appeared unto all men can be saved.
Yes.
All men can be born again. And Christ is offering a better way. You don't have to leave under the burden of the church.
Right.
Amen. When you sin dead and burn it upon you, Christ came to redeem us.
Yes.
Church. And when He gets done, when He bursts you again, and God, there'll be a renewing of the Holy Ghost in your life.
Amen.
That's why. Amen. And it can only come by being born again, Jack. That all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen. Yes.
You take the new birth and the born again. Amen. Experience with the Holy Ghost out of your life. Amen. You're still in your old ways.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Amen. Brother Hill, that is exactly right. Amen. Paul is teaching the new birth. Amen. You must be born again. He saved you. Are you saved? Have you been saved? Amen. Amen. And maybe no matter what anybody says, amen, you were saved by regeneration, the washing of regeneration.
That's right.
And the renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Y'all want more?
Yes,
more.
Sir. Hey.
More?
Yes.
Peter talked about it. John talked about it. Paul talked about it. Jesus
right.
preached. This preacher will preach it and preach it and preach it.
Yes.
Paul talked about in his writings in the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians. He's writing to believers, he said now, he said, you put on that new man.
Yes, sir.
Put on that new man.
Right.
Colossians, I believe it's Colossians 3 and maybe
Amen. Make Ephesians 4. Amen. Talk about a new man. Ephesians 4. A new man. Here's what he said in those texts, and he talked about a new man all through his writings, a new man. Here's what he said in Colossians 3, Ephesians 4. He talked about that new man. He said that new man is created.
Right. Right.
He's a created man.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Brother Larry, you look it up. The word created literally means formed.
Hey.
And the idea behind that word, Brother A.L., is this. It's what the Lord said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter number 1. He said, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I knew thee.
That's right.
The word created and its definition of being formed takes us back from that time of conception to the time of birth.
Amen.
How'd you get the new man? How do you put on the new man? How do you possess the new man? He was born in one.
Yes.
Amen.
Y'all birthed him in one.
Amen.
You take out the new birth, you ain't got a new man to put on.
That's right. That's right.
You don't get the new man when you get your little church membership certificate. You don't get the new man, amen, when you get up and sing in the choir. You don't get the new man, amen, forging your leg to a bunch of regulations and rules and standards as important as some of those things may be. Amen, you get the new man, hallelujah, when the Holy Ghost comes down on the inside and does a powerful work.
Yes, sir.
Create a created man.
That's right.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, I'm living a renewed life. All these bunch of idiots in our day want to run out in the desert and go find themselves. They come back claiming to be a new man. They have a new man, all right. Come back smelling like a God-blessed billy goat.
Right.
Living in sweat huts and chanting and drinking broth. Amen. That crowd's done, man. They come back and say, I found the new man. They ain't found the new them. They the same old man they were.
Right.
I didn't go out in the desert. I didn't go to some sweat hut. I didn't drink no broth. Amen. Thank God there's a fountain filled with fresh blood. Amen. When I put my faith in Him and His shed blood, His name. Amen. I believed on the name.
Yes, amen.
I'm saved. Praise God. Amen. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, amen, in that moment of time, amen. Why when a man or woman gets saved, it doesn't take 6 months right then and there. Amen. After calling on the Lord, they get up and everything feels brand new.
Yes, amen. Yes.
That didn't happen to me. I ain't not listening. Your experience is your experience. But, amen. I remember the load I was under. I'm just preaching now. But like I remember, I fell down there in my bed, 17 years of age. There, I've been under conviction for 2 weeks. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost working in my life, waking me up every morning. Like I remember, I rolled out of my bed and called on the Lord. Amen. I said, Lord, I believe, I don't care. And I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. I'm lost and I'm confessing my sin. I'm confessing Christ is the only way that He's enough and what He did is enough.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost was working in my life. Amen. And when I got done, I set up, I'll tell you, I felt like a brand new man.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Sometimes I get singing in that choir like this morning, I feel like a brand new man all over.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Why? Because it takes me back to the time.
Yeah, preacher.
The condition was met in my life.
Yes, sir.
Second birth.
Amen.
Amen.
What a
savior.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's a condition. Why is it some folk, and we've seen it in 8 years around here, This church has seen it throughout its history. People walk the aisle and they'll make a little profession.
Yeah.
They'll run on it for about 2 or 3 weeks or maybe a couple of months. Some don't even make it 2 or 3 weeks. Your life is never changed.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. I understand there's room for growth. I understand, especially in the era in which we live, there's a lot of baggage people have.
Yeah.
Buddy, I'm telling you, when there is never any renewal work going on in their life,
right,
it's evidence they have never been born.
Amen.
You're right. Right.
Amen. They'll cry.
Yeah.
So I just don't get it. I just don't understand. They can't understand.
Yes.
They'll never know the joy. They'll never know the peace. They'll never know, sissy, what you had in you this week and then brought in the house of God. And they can't know. You know why? Because it's never been renewed in Christ in them.
Right, right.
You said that they said a prayer. I don't care if they said 50,000 prayers. They're pretty good old boys and girls. I don't care how many people think they're good. They do not get born again. There is no renewal in Christ.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Remember the weekend following the Monday that I got saved, walking in the house of God. But Tim, I've heard you testify about it. When you got saved, went to church, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, all of them truths and doctrines that church had been saying about my whole life.
Amen.
All of a sudden, there's something on the inside jumping up and down going,
yes, sir.
Oh, I see it.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I see it.
It's real.
I hear it.
Yes, sir.
I feel it.
Amen.
Better than all that, I know it.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey.
There are people that know nothing about it.
You're right.
You know why? Condition. That condition is still lacking. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. All it'll be. Jesus said, larval life, said to you, it must be born again.
Praise the Lord.
See, the first birth made us simply a son of Adam. The first birth, let me word it this way, the first birth left us cursed children.
Yes.
Right.
It's used a scriptural term. We are cursed children.
Amen.
Yep.
Second birth left us children of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Today, the spiritual standing and what that curse represents in his own sinners today,
yeah,
is not on us. Amen.
Hey.
Oh, we still have the physical sorrows and physical thorns and physical sweat and physical death. Amen. I'm trying not to just go wild and preach more here. I'm trying to end. Can't jump on, right? But spiritually, as children of God, Christ does a work in their life. We are renewed in our mind, we are renewed in our heart, we are renewed in our spirit, day by day.
Yes.
You can only know that renewal as you know something about second birth.
Amen.
When you come back tonight, it gets better.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll look at tonight not only to see the conditions, this renewal's condition, but the whole, the second birth. But you'll find that it is concerned with spiritual blessings. This renewal is concerned with spiritual blessings. Then I'll end tonight, if Lord to help me on the best part of it all. It is conferred a step beyond. It takes us beyond. We're not only being renewed back to what Adam was, restored back to that. Jesse, I don't know why I keep preaching you today. You just look like you need it. So.
We're not just taking back to what Adam was.
Right.
Christ takes us all the way back there and takes us a step beyond.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to show you that tonight if the Lord helps us. Right.